Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
We are rolling into hour two, Outkick the Coverage edition here on Super Bowl week. And did you guys see, we kind of talked about this a lot going into the show. I feel like everybody circled back around to me when this news broke about Anthony Davis and the fact that Anthony Davis was demanding a trade and he wasn't going to re-sign with the Pelicans. Initially, there was a great deal of optimism from Laker fans, and even in the real time, I said, this doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think that Anthony Davis is behaving in a way that's really that intelligent. I don't think his representation is giving him the best possible agenting that they could. And now he's been fined $50,000, which, when you make as much money as him, is about like getting a parking ticket.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Somebody said, if you know, you compared to the average person who makes $50,000 a year, that's like him getting fined. That's like them getting a $78 parking ticket. You might not be happy about it, but really doesn't impact the way that you live your life at all. So I thought that was intriguing in many ways. Are you now, Danny G, beginning to come around and say, you know what, nothing is going to happen between now and the actual trade deadline, which is next Thursday? And also, on top of that, that the Lakers lost another game last night. Is there any update on when LeBron's actually going to take the court again?
No, I mean, there still is no definite word on LeBron's return. Now, Brandon Ingram had a great game. He dropped 36 points. Without Kuzma, though, they couldn't get it done. So I like the fact that we're showcasing Ingram's skills because he has been so up and down and so inconsistent. He was one of the guys where I said I would be okay with trading him to get unibrow.
Yeah. So here is the problem the Lakers are facing now. They go Saturday, we'll see whether LeBron comes back. Do they have one game left in the month of January, or are they done? They got one game against the Clippers,
right,
which theoretically they could win. That's a toss-up game. And then they go on the road, and they're going to lose several games probably. They go on the road against the Warriors. That's probably going to be a loss even if LeBron comes back. I bet he comes back if I were betting for that game because LeBron likes the attention. That's an ABC game. Then they go on the road against the Pacers. Maybe with Oladipo out, they have a chance against the Pacers. Then they go on the road against the Celtics. They're going to probably lose that game. On the road against the 76ers, likely to lose that game. They're likely to go 1-3 right before the All-Star break, probably get a win against the Hawks to go into the All-Star break. I think it's unlikely they're going to be in the playoffs as they go into the All-Star break based on what their next five looks like or so. Why does this matter? Well, they are actually out of the playoff race by a pretty substantial margin right now when you look at the overall standings in the NBA. I think you start to get a little bit nervous about whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be able to make a big trade. Luke Walton on the chopping block potentially. We had yesterday, I thought it was interesting, that discussion with Petros Papadakis we had in hour three. He said more interesting than potentially the trade is that Luke Walton might be on the chopping block. Through 51 games, the Lakers are one game over 500. They have 31 games remaining, if I'm doing my math here right. They are two games out of the playoffs now. And even worse, they're only a game and a half away from falling to 11th place overall in the Western Conference. So I think it's almost time to hit the panic button there. That's your update, though, on what exactly is going on. By the way,
you panicked too much.
I am deluged right now with people sending me the temperatures. And let me just say, the numbers of you out there in the grip of the polar vortex is blowing my mind how many of you are dealing with, as you wake up across the country this morning, like not just sub-zero, but like sub-minus 20. I mean, crazy, crazy cold, the likes of which I don't know that we've ever seen before. Everybody sending in their tweets from their dashboards and everything else. We mentioned last night was, and we're going to be joined, by the way, lots of guests coming in throughout the show today.
It's going to be a great end of the week here.
Yeah, lots of guests coming in on Thursday and Friday as well. But last night was the Super Bowl media party, and it was at the Georgia Aquarium. And we hung out there. Credit to Danny G. If you're a listener for the show for a while, you know that last year after the Super Bowl party that he was unable Jason Martin
yeah.
was unable to work because he had too many drinks. Danny showed up, no issues here. But when you break it down, what is, I think, pretty fascinating is it was an awesome party. These whale sharks, they were massive, put up some videos and pictures of how amazing that venue was. But I saw a girl that was angry. Right?
Yeah, this was the highlight of the night. Okay, not Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck was serving his own food to media members.
That was nothing compared to this. Yeah, he was there doing that, but who cares? That you buried the lead at the very start of the show. This was the highlight of that NFL get together.
So they have like one huge. They have tons of different amazing viewing areas of this whale shark and of this tank. And I can't tell you. It's probably not a surprise that a whale shark would be big. That's why it's called the whale shark. But it is unbelievable how massive this animal is, and to be able to see it there in the Georgia Aquarium was incredible from so many different angles. So they have and it's an open bar, as much food as you can want. Wolfgang Puck is there serving his own food, right? Like, I mean, it is a really cool setup at the Georgia Aquarium. You're at the Super Bowl, and there is it wasn't a famous guy, but there's somebody playing music. Right, Tom Petty, Dave Matthews.
Yeah, he was singing "Free Fallen" as we were standing there watching,
which
was whale
pretty
shark.
Cool. There's a huge crowd of people; everybody's having a great time. And as we're walking downstairs in this huge venue with this whale shark behind us, I see this girl leaning up against the wall, and she just has like a total resting bitch face, and she was angry, right? And so, me being the nice guy that I am, I'm like, "Why are you so angry?" And she's like, "I don't like when people point out that I'm angry." I was like, "Well, it's obvious that you're angry." And she said, "Well, the fish are being oppressed."
Wait, before that, though, what were the first words out of her mouth?
I don't even remember. What did she say?
Oh, so when you first walked up to her, because we were going down the little ramp, and she's standing there.
She was clearly self-evidently angry, right?
Like, just
arms crossed, resting bitch face. And I was like, this is like, you have free alcohol, you got free food, you got this whale shark swimming, it's a Super Bowl, this guy's playing free music. Like, everybody else seems like they're in a good mood. So, being the nice guy that I am, I ask her, what's the matter?
Before you asked her that, though,
I don't even remember.
Said hi to her, and when you looked at her and said hi, and I guess you seemed too happy to her, Roberto, you have that bleep, because she said F beep you.
Oh, she immediately said F
you to me. Said F you to you, which I think a lot of people want to do to you sometimes.
Well,
you had just said hi at that point.
Yeah, and I said hi to a lot of people, by the way. It was an awesome venue, and I tend to be a pretty easygoing, relaxed guy, so. That was her immediate response, and so...
you did a double take. You were like, what did you say? And then you repeated it, and she's like, I did, and then that's when you jumped into the conversation.
And so I like awkward conversations, and so
obviously.
Especially if, if you listen to this show, especially if, like, that girl hated me from the opening of the conversation, so I was just kind of curious where the conversation was going to go and why she was so angry, and ultimately... Like, and this is within 30 or 45 seconds of her being angry. She is telling me that she's angry because the fish in the aquarium are oppressed. Oppressed is the word that she used. I said, you think that whale shark is oppressed? She was like, yes, it's horribly oppressed. I said, well, why did you come to the Georgia Aquarium if you believe that there's oppression going on here? This is like my issue with LeBron James saying, like, oh, my God, all the NFL players are slaves. And then he goes and watches the Rams and the Cowboys playoff game. It's like, you can't say that all the NFL players are slaves and then go watch them. Like, if you're opposed to slavery back in the day, I bet you didn't show up in the fields and watch everybody pick cotton and eat popcorn, right? Like, you don't go get entertained by the slaves. So I'm like, well, if you think the fish is oppressed, like in the tank here, why did you come to the aquarium? Like, right, that would seem to me to be the equivalent of LeBron going to the game if you're upset. And so she was really angry, and then you took her picture, which made her even angrier.
Now, the reason I took...
I can't tweet out the picture, but she was so angry that you took her picture.
Oh, she was about to sock you, which...
I thought she might hit me, which would be unbelievable.
Which made the picture taking even that much more impressive. So I barely got the shot in, and then she gave you the ice grill. No, if you take a picture, and I swear I thought she was going to knock you in your Adam's apple. But now, from this point on, Clay, if you ever irritate the staff... We don't even have to say bleep you to you. I'm just going to text you that picture. Because now that's going to be the picture.
The picture is actually decent other than the angry girl in it because the whale shark is in the background and it's a pretty amazing like venue. I was blown away by
how... If I blur her face a little bit, can I tweet it?
I need to look at the picture again.
Okay, all right.
But she was so angry, and I don't understand it. I guess, again, it was the fish being oppressed.
The picture's great because you look super happy, like you're five drinks in, and she looks like she is watching an oppressed whale shark.
Can you be an oppressed animal? I feel like oppression typically doesn't go with...
Not in a tank that size. Yeah, it's not like he was in a little fish tank.
Yeah, that
okay.
was...
Well, I have a problem visiting the L.A. Zoo sometimes because the last time I went, the tigers were in this tiny little sliver. They didn't even have room to run, and it bothered me. It really did. When I was leaving, I was like, damn, they need to build them a bigger, you know, area. Now, it wasn't like this at the aquarium. That tank was huge. I'm talking the size of a football field.
The picture is, yeah, you can tweet this out if you blur her face. I have no idea who she was, but the picture is amazing because the whale shark is staring directly into everybody's soul right
between
us.
I'll just blur her eyes.
It's well framed. Now, just blur out her whole face. It's a girl. I don't think we need to see her face. She probably doesn't even know.
She doesn't remember saying F you to you.
As her initial introduction.
That was her greeting to you.
Well, I said hi, walking down the stairs. She's leaning up against the wall, angry at the world. I said hi, and she said F you. And then I was like, well, I got to figure out what's going on with this conversation. I think, honestly, she probably liked me.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're joined now by Pat McAfee. God, I already screwed up that, so this is good. The problem is I'm trying to read.
It's an incredible start.
It's an incredible start. I'm trying to read all these ads that they're fitting in here, so let me do this. Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. We are live on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, where sometimes I pronounce the guest's name correctly. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Pat McAfee, Jesus.
That's unbelievable. That is.
You ever had somebody go 0-for-2?
Well, and then you had to pat yourself on the back. Like, I have so many ads I have to read. Like, you're so rich. So you say my name wrong, and then you brag about how rich you are in the first 30 seconds I'm here.
It's an honor to be here. Most people would think, like, this is a really awkward start to the conversation, but this is so much better. We were talking off the air than the conversation that I had with that girl last night at the aquarium.
Yeah.
I literally started with FU.
I love that, though, by the way, because I was going to ask you during this. I've never met you officially.
Right.
I've seen you on the internet.
Yes.
I enjoy the way you go about handling your business. I think it's an incredible...
I appreciate that. We've never met, but I also am impressed by what you've done. So,
You got a nice beard.
Huh? Yeah, we got it. There we go.
But everybody always has an opinion of Clay Travis. And then as soon as I sit here, I hear the story of you going to try to enjoy a whale shark last night.
It was unbelievable, the whale shark in the Georgia Aquarium.
And then a lady just popped off and said she hated everything about your soul, basically. And I'm like, wow, Clay, this is like something I was going to ask about, and it just got thrown into it.
Yeah, and she said, in addition to the fact that F you to start the conversation, she said also that that she was not happy to be at the aquarium because all the fish were oppressed. And I was like, I never really have put the word oppression in conjunction with a fish before, but now that I think about it, like, the oppressed fish would be an amazing band name or something, right?
If you were out there
trying to think of a name for your band, your high school kid going to school this morning, like, there you go, the oppressed fish. You can cite me when you become a superstar.
Well, I think anytime you throw fish in there, like Hootie.
Yeah.
I mean, Hootie and a Blowfish is
that
an
worked.
Incredible name.
Yes.
Fish is something you can tag at the end of any band name, and it's normally going to do well for
you.
But you also got to think, those oppressed fish, those fish are doing a life sentence in there. You know what I mean?
They don't get back out.
Nobody thinks about that whale shark being in there for his entire life in there. You know?
Unless you get a Nemo situation where they escape. You know, they had that. That's a great movie. But outside of the film universe, very unlikely. you live in Indianapolis. For people who don't know you, you are a punter. We have Brett Kern is a good friend of mine. He loves you. Like, you're always out there for the brand.
Yeah.
Today, let's start this because they always get upset if I don't do it.
Yeah,
you're here for Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings has asked me to come chit-chat about what they have going on. And
basically,
if the Rams and Patriots goes to overtime, which is what we're all banking on happening, NFC game, AFC game wants overtime. Now, if the big one goes to overtime, Buffalo Wild Wings is giving out free wings to America. And that is honestly something I think – everybody can get behind, whether you love Tom Brady or hate him, whether you think the 12-year-old McVay is going to do well or not. I think the free wings opportunity, everybody should be banking on overtime, and that's what we're here for, just to spread awareness that there's some free damn wings on the line here whenever these two teams step onto the field.
Well, now you've got a beard a little bit.
It's average.
But you don't have sleeves on right now. And I got to be honest, you got a little Cobra Kai look going here. Johnny, if you didn't have the beard, you'd have a definite Johnny from Karate Kid look going here.
See, I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen Karate Kid?
Not once in my life, but I... The kid did the thing, the crane thing. I get it.
What is the reason why you haven't watched Karate Kid?
So when I was a child, I've been learning this with my adventures with my friends on my show. So we do a lot of talking about obviously relevant things. My childhood, I had such bad ADD, I think, like ADHD.
You wouldn't watch movies?
No way. I had no time for that. I honestly have no clue how anybody did it. And I know that I've missed an entire chapter of my life.
Oh, you got to go back in time and just look at all this. So that's one of the great things. I've got three boys, is taking them back and watching, you know, the Back to the Future movies. Yeah. Like all of the movies that I grew up watching, including Karate Kids, they love them. Like they think the 1980s is the greatest time on the planet, right?
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see through their eyes again and also recognize how awesome so many of those movies are. So now
you've
got to be able to take care
now.
Of it. Oh, they have an unbelievable life. I'm jealous of my kids. I'm jealous of my kids and my wife. They have unbelievable gigs.
The thing about your kids is they aren't oppressed fish. So they are going to live a great life. It's going to be good news everywhere.
And they can leave, right? They don't have to stay in the same place for their entire life. Now, I always curious with kickers.
Yeah, buddy.
When did you recognize that you had a powerful leg?
So the
like
first,
when you were like five, were you like, I can kick the ball a lot better than anybody else?
Yeah, so in soccer, I always had a stronger leg than anybody else.
Just naturally.
Yeah, so instead of watching movies and all that stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I would honestly, my hobby was to kick a soccer ball against the side of my house. So
yeah, to drive your parents crazy.
It drove them crazy, but it got me out of the house. So they had to listen to a thump, but it was nice to not have me around, I think, for a long time. And whenever I was a teenager, I was playing in a soccer game. It was an indoor soccer game. It's called futsal, and the ball is a little bit heavier, right?
Yep.
So it's like a smaller ball. It's a little heavier. I broke the goalie's arm, right, with a shot, right?
Wow.
So bing, bang, boom. And I think that was really the day that everybody was like, oh, this kid's leg is pretty strong. And then kind of one thing moved to another, and the first time I kicked a football, I kicked a 60-yard field goal, and then it was just kind of from there. It was like
just naturally.
Business decision, with my family. Like, instead of playing soccer, let's focus on taking three steps and making money as opposed to 7 miles. So that was kind of the decision.
So,
I got real lucky.
So did you start playing in high school then, football?
Yeah, junior year of
And you'd never played football before that?
No, and I never went to practices either because soccer was supposed to be the thing. I was supposed to play soccer. I had a lot more universities and colleges looking at me for soccer than for football. I wouldn't go to practice. I'd just show up like with the fans on Fridays, kick. Our football team wasn't great. But I generated a little bit of interest, went to a college kicking camp after my senior year, made a 65-yard field goal, missed a 70-yard field goal wide right. The next day I had an offer to West Virginia University in my cafeteria of high school, and I was like, yep, heard it's a great time in Morgantown, which I enjoyed having, and they offered me a full scholarship. I was let's go.
Did you ever burn a couch?
Oh, yeah, we won a lot, Clay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of celebrating there. There was a lot of celebrating, and I was a very small factor on a very good team.
Yeah.
So I got to reap the benefits of like Pat White and Steve Slayton being incredible football players.
Did you overlap with Pac-Man at all?
Pac-Man was the year before me, but he used to come back and train in the summer. So I know the Pac-Man pretty well.
Yeah.
I know the Pac-Man
so
pretty well.
I always think of Morgantown, West Virginia, which is an awesome place, and I think we're on there as well.
It is,
but I always think of it as like Deadwood, right? Like it's like this crazy hidden place. Like the idea that Chris Henry and Pac-Man Jones were there, and basically, I know they got in a little bit of trouble, but didn't get in that much trouble. And then they suddenly emerged. Like, their dead bodies just buried on the hills outside of Morgantown, right?
I'm not sure of that. I could have looked like a dead body on a few occasions there in Morgantown, but I have not seen Deadwood, but I get it. Deadwood. I'm assuming it's bodies in the woods.
Actually, they don't have a lot of woods on Deadwood. It's awesome. They're making a movie now. You do watch television now? Are you watching now, or you still have the ADHD?
You know what? I mean, I dive into some stuff. I saw the Ted Bundy tapes.
Oh, how was that?
It was interesting.
I haven't watched it.
Terrible human, man. It's been interesting how the pop culture has talked about Ted Bundy, but I watch a lot of documentaries.
Have you watched the Fire Festival
documentary? Oh, yeah. Come on, Billy McFarlane. Let's go. How about Andy King, by the way? That guy's a real one. He was a loyal guy. Anything for water for old Billy McFarlane. You got to really respect that type of
thing. Amazing to me about the Netflix and how some of these documentaries take off is suddenly it seems like everybody has seen them. So last night, even at the media party, the number of people who were talking about the Fire Festival documentary blew my mind. And it's just crazy how something could take, you know, go viral like that in terms of watching a documentary, which I don't remember growing up at all.
I think we all remember when that Fire Festival promotion started, right? Like, I have a guy who works for me who wanted to, he was like trying to do things to earn a ticket to go to this.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was
all about the social media influencers. For people who don't know, this took place in the Bahamas.
Yep.
And it was going to be this huge concert, and it was almost entirely
private
promoted
island.
On a private island. almost entirely promoted through
IG models,
Instagram like influencers, like but hot chicks,
yeah,
basically.
Basically, that's all it was. It was Sports Illustrated models and IG influencers. And I had a guy in my office that wanted to go bad, and I like, I don't know, I didn't, I don't know if I didn't want to pay for him to go or what happened. Something happened. So whenever through, I was so upset that he wasn't there. Like, whenever there was like videos of people like stranded,
yes,
these rich white kids are like stranded on a,
yes,
on an island in the Bahamas,
losing
like
their minds on social media, which is how it went viral again.
Exactly.
When it didn't actually end up happening.
So then getting a peek behind that, I think everybody is interested. The documentaries, we're in a documentary era right now because it's easy to make, it's cheap, and people want to know more about more things. It's like a woke society almost. You know?
Yeah, crazily. And when I was growing
oppressed
up.
Oppressed fish.
Yeah, oppressed fish. When I was growing up, like the only real documentary I remember is Hoop Dreams, right? That, I mean, you didn't see documentaries, maybe like Fahrenheit 9/11 or something like that. Like there are a couple of them that have gotten a lot of attention,
yeah,
but by and large, but now with the Netflix and everything else, it's like they take off and everybody suddenly is talking about it. So I'm sure a lot of people listening to us right now have seen that documentary. What do you do now? So you had you go to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You have an incredible
average. I was pretty good. I had a really strong leg. I wasn't great.
So what percentage of kicks would you make? When
I think I was like 74%, 75%, 73% maybe. I was in that area there. I had a really strong leg. Had no clue where the hell it was.
Really?
Going. Yeah.
So you're like a driver who like in golf who can get up in the tee box and you're going to crush it, but you have no idea where it's going to
end
up.
Yeah. And I started literally from my freshman year, first game.
Yeah.
So I went straight through. So the people at West Virginia had to really go through some ebbs and flows with me, which I appreciate them for. But I started punting my last 2 years there, but it was the college rollout punt. So we catch the ball. I didn't know how to punt.
Yep.
I would just run to the
like
side.
The Aussie style.
Yes, exactly. And try to get the ball on the ground and just let it roll. Right.
Right.
I'm just going to hit it as hard as I can and hope it rolls. And then Bill Polian said that he thought he could, like, it was athletic enough to figure out how to NFL punt.
Right, which is just stand there and
two steps. Yeah. He said, I think you're athletic enough to figure it out. And I was like, well, we're going to find out. I mean, this is a nightmare decision for him. So I get drafted in the seventh round. And then a year later, I make the team and I'm kicking off the Super Bowl. And I have no clue what the hell I'm doing. There was no reason for me to be there. And then I just kind of worked, enjoyed my time, and got really lucky to play 8 years there.
So I think it was Vanderjagt, like Peyton Manning called him an idiot kicker.
Liquored up kicker,
yeah,
yeah,
or whatever it was. Did he ever insult you, or with the, did you have a better relationship as a punter with Peyton Manning?
I knew going in there after Vanderjagt messed that up, the relationship, I was like, okay, here we go. Vanderjagt went to West Virginia. I went to West Virginia. I like to drink. Vanderjagt likes to drink. I knew I was coming in with a couple strikes against
yes.
me, but he enjoyed me, I think. I think Peyton enjoyed me a little bit. He was the perfect teammate, to be honest with you. He, when I was a rookie, he would take me to places. Like Peyton Manning's taking me to places.
That feel just surreal. Like not.
It was stupid.
Yeah.
It was just the dumbest thing ever. I was at a Tennessee game with Peyton Manning, Bruce Pearl, Pat, and the president of Tennessee was there, and I was there with Peyton and like Anthony Gonzalez, who's now a sitting senator. And it was like, I was a rookie. I was like, there's no reason I'm supposed to be here.
Right.
But I could chug beers pretty well. So people found that impressive. I was like a dancing monkey for people, and that was completely okay with me.
What game did you go to? Do you remember?
It was a kickoff. It was the first game of the year. It was probably 2009. I don't remember what it was, but the place was incredible. Absolutely incredible. I got to talk to the kickers before the game on the field. It was really just a – it was cool. Peyton was way too nice to me. He shouldn't have been as nice to me as he was.
How much did you enjoy being in the NFL? Like, and I would like to ask, like, people who are involved in special teams, because your experience is a lot different than the other guys. So when you were actually in the NFL, were you like, this is amazing, I love every minute of it? What was your experience like?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun, man. The NFL was incredible to me. Obviously paid very well.
Yep.
I got to take care of my family, my friends, everybody who was supposed to. I got a chance to experience a lot of really cool things. And then towards the end, it's like the first 5-6 years I loved every day going to work. I loved getting better at what I was doing. There was only 32 people who had my job, so I was enjoying it. I was getting good, getting very confident. And then I started hating going to work. I just was sick of it. You know, I was enjoying
What changed?
Well, I mean, the GM hated me, right? So the GM was not a fan of mine.
He didn't like you because you drank. He didn't like you off the field. He didn't like
your
attitude.
Well, when he got there, I didn't even drink anymore because I had already gotten arrested. He didn't like the way my Twitter was. So I was basically, at this point, the voice of the Colts in Indianapolis. My Twitter was large. After I got into an alleged incident, Clay, the cops have their story. I have mine. It was public intoxication. The city of Indianapolis, state of Indiana, kind of got behind me. And my Twitter started slowly growing and growing. And then when the new regime came in, they They cut Peyton Manning. They cut everybody.
Right.
So the only people that really stayed around were me, Vinatieri, Robert Mathis, Reggie Wayne, Anthony Costanzo, and none of them were that active on social media. So I was literally the biggest platform coming out of the Colts.
Yep.
And
they weren't happy about that.
The new GM did not like that I was potentially a voice of anybody of that building. And, I mean, it wasn't just him. I mean, I had 3 knee surgeries in like 4 years on my knees because they were kind of getting worn out. It was just a lot of things. I was falling in love with what was happening off the field. I was doing stand-up. I was doing a lot of philanthropic stuff. It was just I just didn't enjoy going to work to kick balls on fourth downs anymore. So I just was like, you know what? Here we go. I'm outie.
If people are enjoying this interview, they can find you where on Twitter?
It's not worth it. It's don't follow. We have too many. No, it's at Pat McAfee Show. And I used to be better on there. When I was smaller, I was better.
Now you get nervous? Now you overthink it? Or what do you do?
No, you can't really do much interacting because everything – whenever you're – and I'm sure you get yelled at about this. So if I respond to somebody who, like, I used to enjoy when people would, like, talk trash to me.
Yes.
So that, because I would enjoy, because as a punter, you can't talk trash. There's, so when I was playing soccer, I could talk trash. When I was playing pickup basketball when I was a kid, I could talk trash. When I'm
not
a punter,
lot of punter trash
you can't,
talk.
I can't trash talk anybody. Literally, there's nobody I could trash. I am the bottom of the totem pole in the National Football League. So Twitter was like my escape. Like, okay, so if this guy chirps at me, I could chirp him back. Now I can't even do that. I can't really, because once I go after somebody, I have the best people in the world follow me. They feel like they got attacked, and now I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's like it kind of, when I was smaller, was a lot more fun, but now I just kind of what my observations are in life and enjoy it.
Pat McAfee Show, 1 out of 3, I'd be an all-star.
McAfee Show, too. Pat McAfee Show. Unbelievable out of you, Clay. You came in here, just dumped right on my face. Unbelievable.
So, in addition to this, you're doing a lot of stuff. I need to look up this email. I think we're doing a prop contest. Have you heard about this? Were you informed on this?
Absolutely.
Super Bowl prop contest. I'm trying to pull it up. And the Wi-Fi, you would think, of all places, they would have incredible Wi-Fi here.
Hey, it is cold outside. Media. It's nowhere near the polar vortex over there in America. It's like negative 50 in some places.
Yeah, oh, I know. We had people calling in this morning. We're trying to figure out who the coldest was.
My heart is with you, but Atlanta is nowhere near southern happy warm right
now. No, there's no doubt
at all. It is cold. We had to walk 4 miles to get here. It is cold outside.
It's brutal. You know, they shut down schools yesterday because they thought it was going to snow.
I respect that. I respect that a lot. Just shut her down, John Taffer in Atlanta.
They were preparing. All right, so here we're going to do these quickly, all right? Is that the way we're supposed to do it? National anthem, you going over or
over,
under 149?
Over.
All right, somebody keep track on these, Danny.
Well, I do believe, though, that studies, like people that have been watching film on her,
yes,
have been saying the under's the smart bet.
Yeah.
But I think the moment might get to her, she might carry out a seat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's going to be over strictly for America.
My bookie prop contest here.
Oh,
coin
okay.
toss. Which way are you going?
Heads, man.
Always heads? You ever get to call the toss?
One time.
What'd you go with? You win?
I went with heads.
Did you win?
Yeah, yeah. I felt really good about it, too. I mean, that was the first time I was allowed to speak, basically. It was a fun moment.
What is the best hit you ever put on somebody as a punter? Was there one guy where,
the
like –
the Trendon Holiday hit is the big – because it was when Peyton came back as the Broncos. So that Sunday Night Football was being viewed as, like, a playoff game. It was big numbers. Huge hit. Terrible field position, so I didn't do my job well at all. But I tackled Trendon Holiday. That blew up. But before the social media phase, like, back in college – I was like 240. We're playing against like Eastern Washington, like some of these little kids. And some of the returners are small.
Yeah.
I used to catch some people. I used to really get some people whenever they didn't think I was coming.
Did you ever get a concussion?
I assume. I didn't wear my strap. I didn't wear the strap underneath, and I had terrible tackling form.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that my noggin has at least been knocked a couple times.
First half spread. You think it's a crazy stat. The Patriots have only scored 3 points in the first quarter in their 8 Super Bowls so far. The Patriots are a half-point first half spread favorite, according to this.
I like the Patriots in the first half. I like the Patriots in the second half. But most importantly, I like the Patriots in overtime. Because if this game goes to overtime, Clay, Buffalo Wild Wings free wings in 2 Sundays from now. I like the Patriots.
Brady, do you like him to have a lot of passing yards or no? 139.5 in the first half.
They got that 3-headed monster in the backfield. And I honestly think if they can get that moving somehow against that stout D-line, I think it's going to be under. I think they're going to be handing the rock off in the first half and then let Tom Brady take it in the second half. Once they see what the defense is doing.
Total punts.
7.
Over 7.5. Under. You're going under.
Under. I think it's going to be 7.
What about the 57-yard? What do you think about the missed call, by the way? In the same.
The
you
bird
were on,
boxing, man?
Yeah.
It would
if
be
you were
A.
on, if you were on the Saints,
yeah.
How sick would you be?
Well, I mean, you got to be disgusted, especially after the Minnesota Miracle happened or Minneapolis Miracle happened the year before. That's Drew Brees, I think, was about to call it a day.
Like, yeah.
He hit every single record. I think he was about done. He was doing a lot more of that shoulder shrug at the end of the year. He had every single record. I assume that this was going to be his last run. And even if they just lose that game outright, potentially, his last run. But after the miracle to Stephon Diggs and then the Bird Box situation with them refs, I have no idea how Drew Brees, he has to come back. It just has to be unsettling as a Saints fan.
How often are you up early in the morning?
I wake up pretty early.
You want to come on the show regularly? Because I think people would enjoy it.
Sure, man. You just get a hold of me.
All right, we'll do that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We got a guy now who I bet if I told him a year ago, you're going to be nominated for Rookie of the Year and you're going to be walking around at the Super Bowl, would have said that sounds like a pretty good conclusion to what was a wild year for you. Philip Lindsay, Denver Bronco running back, undrafted, but what does it feel like for you to be here, Pepsi Rookie of the Year Challenge, and be one of the final nominees? And what can you tell for people who might want to go ahead and make a little bit of their voice heard for why you should be that nominee?
Yeah, first off, I want to start off by saying thank you guys for having me today.
Appreciate
you
coming.
It's an honor to be here. And, yeah, pretty much for the Pepsi, it's an honor to be able to be selected for this. And there's some great contenders right now for it, so hopefully I can win it. I definitely need the fans to help out, you know, and if the fans, you know, fans vote, it's a fan vote thing, voted thing, so I need all the support I can get.
They're gonna announce the winner of the contest tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
The Rookie of the Year contest sponsored by Pepsi. If I had told you on draft night, sit there on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you don't hear your name called, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I want to first start off by saying that the draft process is a grind.
Yeah.
But that day, those 3 days, are probably one of the worst moments of your life if you ain't the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting there, it eats you alive. It really does. I don't wish nobody has to go through it, and I don't wish their families would have to go through it. It's a bad feeling to have to wait for 3 days straight for somebody to call your name.
Did you think you were going to be drafted? And if so, where did you think you would be
drafted? Yeah, I for sure thought I was going to at least be drafted in the 6th, 7th round. I think I had a strong enough
college career.
A college career, yeah, I was consistent. And there's people being drafted that played 2 years of college football and had no stats. So when I sit back and look at it, it was one of the things where – you know, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, I'm going to get drafted. I didn't know from who. And one thing I will say is that everybody calls and tells you they're going to draft you, and they don't. And sometimes there was a time where one of the teams said, you know, we're not going to draft a running back. And you look up on the screen 2 minutes later, and they drafted a running back. So it's just one of those things that it can eat you alive, and it can really frustrate you and bring tears to your eyes and your family's eyes.
Philip Lindsay, so you are sitting there for 3 days. You don't get drafted. What did they tell you about why you weren't drafted? Did you get any kind of indication?
My height and my size.
You just weren't big enough was
exactly.
The idea.
I mean, that's the only reason why I didn't go to the combine, but there was people going to the combine that you never heard of before.
Yeah.
But because somebody felt that they know best. That's the funny thing about everybody is all these analysts is everybody feels like they know what they're talking about, but nobody can control you. Nobody can tell you what you're going to be and what you want to do. You got to go out there and do it, you know, and that's period.
It's a powerful story. No matter who you are, what you do for a living, everybody has to deal on some level with doubters, with haters, with people who don't believe that you're capable of performing at the highest level. So you end up in Denver Bronco camp, right? You sign in as an undrafted free agent.
Yep.
At what point when you showed up with the Broncos did you start to think, you know what, I could do something here substantial even in my rookie year?
Yeah, when I first got there, I had that confidence. And, you know, I knew I needed to earn respect from the coaches and definitely from the players, your teammates. Your teammates matter. And that first practice, I went out there and I scored a touchdown the first time I was in. The next day, I did the same thing. And I knew that I'm an undrafted free agent and it's a slim chance I'm going to make it if I don't. I'm only getting about 5 reps a practice.
Yes.
So I got to make them count. I got to be out there, and I got to be a dog on special teams. I got to be a dog in the weight room, and I got to be a dog when it comes to the meet. And that's what it's about. It's about outlasting people. That's and I always tell people that it's about outlasting. And when I knew that I could outlast people, I knew that I was going to be okay.
A lot of people probably who are around you, and certainly a lot of people listening, think, oh, you make the NFL, that guy's making so much money.
Yeah, no,
right?
Yeah,
like you're making millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
The NFL league minimum, $480,000. You pay a lot of taxes.
Exactly.
It's not like you are a rich guy yet necessarily.
No, definitely not.
And in fact, you lived with your mom for your entire rookie year. Tell people about that who might not know that part of your story.
Yeah, so I decided I'm home. It's about 20 minutes from the facility, which is a gorgeous. When you wake up in the morning, early in the morning, the sun hasn't come out yet, and then you're driving and the sun starts to rise. It gives you time to think. So it's farther enough away so that you can regroup your thoughts. And so I figure, you know, I'm home. I get to save my money up. I still pay, you know, bills for my mother and stuff like that. But I get to save a lot of money, you know, and work my way up to buying a condo. Because no matter what I do, when I'm done playing football, I want to get a home in my hometown in Colorado.
You want to stay in the Denver area?
About, yeah, exactly.
So you're born and raised in Denver. You went to Colorado to play for UC Boulder,
which
is a big-time Pac-12 program. Now you get to play for the Denver Broncos. When you look at it now, does there seem like there was a method that led to pain for you on draft night, but maybe you ended up in the best possible situation?
Yeah, I mean – everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer of that. When I got hurt, everything, it has timing. God has ways of slowing you down when it's time for you to slow down or going through obstacles that he knows that you need to go through to become a better man, better woman. So that's how I believe. I'm a firm believer in that. And like I said, it was I had a tough time in college too. I had a grind, you know. I had a grind from high school. I got humbled when I hurt my knee. Then I got up to college. I was little. I was 150 pounds. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting here.
What do you weigh now?
About 185.
Yeah.
Proud of it, too. You know what I mean? Like, all that other stuff is cute. That combine stuff is cute now. Now, we done with that. They can say what they want. I don't care. But, yeah, it's about productivity.
We're talking to Philip Lindsay, Denver Bronco running back, undrafted free agent, nominee for Rookie of the Year here, Radio Row in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53. I want to go back to living in with your mom.
Yeah.
Do you have brothers and sisters too?
I do.
So do you sleep in your bedroom or where do you sleep?
I sleep downstairs. Yeah. So so pretty much everybody's out the house now. Everybody's old. Everybody's out the house. But I sleep downstairs in the basement and stuff like that. So I got my own space and stuff like that. But it's just easy right now, you know.
Can you bring girls over?
You know, I have a girlfriend right now.
Oh, okay.
Mom think of the girlfriend?
Oh,
they have a good relationship?
Yeah, they definitely do. I think so. You know?
So what's the reaction when guys find out in the locker room that you're living at home with your mom?
First, they laugh, they tease, and then they start to think, you know, man,
saving a lot of money.
Yeah, that's when they come to me. A couple of them, you know, I kind of wish, you know, I would have stayed at home. You're doing it the right way. It's a smart way right now.
So you said you start off your day early in the morning.
Definitely.
Sun's not even up.
Yeah.
What is your typical day like during the season for the Denver Broncos? Because I think people are curious about that too, from the perspective of, I mean, you grind, right?
So
you get up, you wake up at your house, you eat breakfast with mom. Does mom awake?
Nah. So my mom usually stay, you know, sleep and stuff. So I get up, you know, and get out the house, you know, clear my mind with the drive and stuff. And then when I get to the facility, there might be – usually I'm the first one there.
Maybe. And what time will you get to the facility?
Probably about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sometimes at 5:30.
Just depends.
But, yeah, so it's still dark, usually real dark outside. But I get everything situated, you know, get my mind right, go through my plays. You know, we usually lift in the morning, so get ready for that. And just kind of like – and, you know, get back and sit back and enjoy, you know, what has happened and enjoy that I'm able to play this game still, you know.
So you have the off season now. You've got a cast on your what's the recovery process there?
Yeah.
Do you expect to be better? Like, what's your process for off season?
I can do everything. I can run. I can do every single thing except put pressure on this right now because it's healing. But I should be ready. You know, by OTAs, but you never know. Injuries take time, and only God knows how long it's going to take. So,
how much different does this offseason feel for you now that you know you have a role on the Denver Broncos compared to what last year's offseason would have felt like?
Yeah, it doesn't feel any different because I got to grind now. We got a new coaching staff. I got to go and show again the consistency. Show that I can be consistent in the NFL, not just 1 year, 2 years. It's about being here 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So it's about showing that. And my mentality, how I work, I'm scared. I'm scared to fail. So I grind all the time, 24/7. I'm working. I ain't the biggest, but I'm going to give you everything I got. You know what I mean? I don't care about the size. I'm going to do what I have to do to protect my family and make sure they're okay.
What do you think of the new coaching staff so far?
I like them. You know, I think that it's going to be beneficial for myself and beneficial for Case and a lot of us, you know. And I know the defenses is really excited. You know, our head coach is defense-oriented man, and he's really good. So we're excited.
Philip Lindsay, will be rooting for you. I know people have loved hearing from you. Giving people out your Twitter handle if people want to reach out to you.
Yeah, it's Twitter is Philip I See You Boy. And Instagram is just Philip Lindsay.
All right. People can find you on Twitter and on Instagram.
I_CU.
Outstanding.
Right. I_CU_boy. Yeah.
So, by the way, when are you going to move out of mom's place?
You know, I was thinking about it this, couple months from now. We're going to see how it goes. You know, they're talking about the lockout in 2020. So
might want to save as much money as you can. You might stay there for a year, too.
Yeah, I might have to. You know what I mean? You know, she welcomes me with open arms and, you know, that's I'm thankful for.
That's outstanding stuff. Philip Lindsay, follow his story. Incredible year with the Denver Broncos. Appreciate him joining us here, Radio Row Super Bowl.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.